He would turn in the scriptures to Revelation and chapter 18. In Revelation chapter 18, we'll read the whole chapter, verses 1 through 24. Revelation 18, beginning in verse 1, God's people, these are the words of the Lord. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory, and he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works, and the cup which she has mixed double for her. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow, for she says in her heart, I sit as queen and am no widow, and will not see sorrow. Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour your judgment has come. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble, and cinnamon and incense, fragrant oil and frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots and bodies and souls of men. The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in one hour such great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who travel by ship, sailors, and as made many as trade on the sea, stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What is like this great city? They threw dust on their heads and cried out weeping and wailing and saying, Alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth, for in one hour she is made desolate. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found any more. The sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, and trumpeters shall not be heard in you any more. No craftsman of any craft shall be found in you any more, and the sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you any more. The light of a lamp shall not shine in you any more, and the voice of bridegroom and bride shall not be heard in you any more. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by your sorcery all the nations were deceived, and in her was found the blood of prophets and saints, and of all who were slain on the earth. And those are God's words. We heard in the last chapter, Babylon being the name upon the great harlot, the Antichrist, or as we also know, the beast. And here, verses 1 and 2, proclaiming the fall of Babylon. Verse 3 gives the reasons for her fall, and then warning is given to all who belong to God to come out from Babylon and to assist in her destruction through verse 8. And of course, that destruction comes as the Lord God judges her in verse 8. And then through verse 19, those who shared largely in her sin and pleasure and profits lament at her destruction. But the end of the chapter is the great joy in all of God's faithful ones of this irrecoverable ruin of Babylon. Beloved, once again, let us look in hope for the future destruction of Babylon and the kingdom of the Antichrist, and with joy rejoice over our deliverer, Jesus Christ, who will bring her to ruin. And we exalt in his justice. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We're thankful of the hope you give, even in the just sentence of the wicked, that you bring about your vengeance at the right time. We do not need to seek after vengeance. You will take care of that fully. And we ask that you would bring it about soon. Because we know in the bringing about of this soon, that you will bring about, even in time, the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ. And that we look forward to, and we remember how he said multiple times, "I am coming soon." And we hope with great longing that he comes soon. But we know even what we've learned in Romans 11. Those things need to take place first too. And so we ask for the spread of the gospel, and that many would come into the kingdom, Jews and Gentiles, and that you would cause the church to flourish and grow even to the ends of the earth, as if all, it would seem, would be your children. And nations would bow before Christ and to him. That is our hope and prayer. We ask that you would bring it about soon, if it be your will. Because we struggle in this present evil age, under the weight of our own sin, under the weight of the temptations from the world, the flesh, and the devil. And these are great things that are hard to deal with. And yet we're thankful that you've given us a Savior in Jesus Christ who has experienced all the temptations and the temptations even of the evil one, and yet without sin. We know that he is sympathetic to what we experience, and he prays for us, and we give you praise for this, and we're comforted by it. And Father, we keep asking that you would be with us as a church, as a congregation. You would put all false teaching and idolatry away from us, and from the churches of our denomination, the church throughout the world, even as we'll hear about this evening. We ask that you would be with the nations and this nation, that you would turn this nation and others to bow the knee to Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Ruler of Rulers. And we ask that you would cause governing officials to turn unto you in faith and be saved from their sins, and that they would rule, that you would raise up rulers who are godly and who will change the laws, the wicked laws that are part of our nation, and that you would raise up godly judges to judge justly on the basis of two or three witnesses. Father, we ask that you would raise up godly men for these things, that they would be ministers of you, servants of you, bowing the knee to Jesus Christ. that you would make us a Christian nation. We are not a Christian nation. We acknowledge that, yet many evangelicals might think we are. But we are not, because Christ is not our King as a nation. And so, Father, change that. Bring it about that this nation would bow the knee to Christ so that we would not be judged, knowing that we deserve your judgments as a nation. Father, we ask that you would purify the church so that the nation would be sanctified and reformed. And so purify us. Start here with us in our hearts and amongst us. Father, as we think upon many nations, other nations where Christians are, your people are persecuted, their blood is poured out, and there is great slaughter or suffering. We ask that you would uphold them and give them your word. You would cause them to be like Paul and Silas and singing your psalms, and that they would know your word and they would be faithful. And you would give them faith, greater faith than they could ever imagine, even in the midst of great suffering and persecution and death. Father, help your church and exact vengeance against those who would persecute your bride. And Father, we ask that you would help us, that you would grow us in communion with your Son, Jesus Christ, that we would love him, that we would love your Son, that we would love your word, that we would love seeking your help and your comfort in prayer, and that we would love worship. And we're thankful that you've brought us here today. We are not deserving of being here, and yet you've blessed us being here, and ask that you would watch over us, that you would keep us from temptation, and yet we're tempted, that we would not fall into sin, but remember your word and submit to the leanings of the Holy Spirit working in our hearts. And that we would love you and receive your word for Christ's sake, and it's in his name we pray. Amen.